Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I'm so glad you're here, although I think I need to stand on this side of the room to balance things out just a little bit. You know, but it is what it is. I am so glad that you are all here today as we continue our green and growing season after Pentecost, as we continue to gather together and add our voices to those across time and space, giving God thanks and praise. I'm glad if you're with us here. I'm glad if you're joining us online. It is good for us to be together. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship, to add our voices in thanks and praise. And so let us continue our worship by joining together and singing our gathering song. Sing a song. Let us rise and sing together.
I want to sing a song for you, Lord.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you, and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 through 14.
The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars in heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. "I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invincible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So Jesus told them this parable. 'Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated, but I would love to invite the children to come forward, and I think here they're coming. Here they come. Yay. Good morning. How are you? How are you? She's coming. All right. Now, I have a question for you guys. Have you ever been lost? Never? You're lucky. You've never been lost? Wow. See, my little brother Phil would get lost anywhere. We'd go shopping, and all of a sudden, if he couldn't see my mom, then he was officially lost in his mind, and so he would stand still and scream at the top of his lungs, "Mom!" And sometimes mom was literally just on the other side of the circular rack full of clothes, and there was. But you see, we heard in the gospel story that God looks for us if we get lost. Now, I have a friend. He's a stuffed animal friend. It's a little red fox, and he's lost. Or at least I don't know where he's at. You know where he's at? You found him? You found him already?
I was looking up there and I saw him.
Where? Let me follow that. Okay. Oh, there he is! You saw him all the way back there? That's what God does. God watches you. God notices you. And if you're lost, God will find you and bring you home and help you celebrate being found.
God doesn't want any of us to feel lost, doesn't want any of us to feel alone, doesn't want any of us to be afraid. And so remember this, just like you did, God finds you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for noticing when we're lost, for searching for us, for finding us. We thank you for your love, Lord. Help us as we share that love with others, and help us as we follow Jesus. We give you thanks for today, Lord. Amen. Thank you for finding my friend. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been lost? Maybe it's just a little bit lost, you know, like you make a wrong turn, but you're still heading in the right direction and you figure you may be able to find your way. If you've ever driven in Chicago, that happens a lot. Or maybe you're really lost. Like you're supposed to be on the other side of the airport and your plane leaves in 10 minutes and it's a 25-minute walk to get to the other side. Or maybe you're really lost. Like there have been decisions made that have made you alone, without help, not knowing what to do next or where to turn. Or maybe you're just a little lost. Like you go with to the party, but recognize the dangers that are there, and so you stay outside, but you have no idea where you are. There are times when we are all lost, at least a little bit. Sometimes we're lost because of decisions we made, and other times we're lost because of a decision someone else has made. Sometimes we're lost because of our pride or arrogance, and other times it's innocence and naivete. Sometimes we don't even know that we're lost because we're confidently going in the wrong direction. Sometimes we know we're lost right away, and it doesn't matter because we're already there. Sometimes when we are lost, it's dark and it's scary, and other times it's broad daylight, but we have no clue where we are or how we got there. To be lost can be like being paralyzed into inaction. You have no idea where you are, how you got there, and how to get out. In today's gospel, Luke gives us an encouraging glimpse into God's love for all of us. If we get lost, when we get lost, God searches. God searches for us, God searches for them, God searches for everyone. God notices when one of his children is lost, and then God searches and God welcomes back and God picks us up to bring us home. Or God can even leave us lost where we are if that is our choice. God loves us all so much that God searches. Like the shepherd in that first parable Jesus tells, God is willing to go out in the daytime or in the dark to crawl through the brambles as well as stand out in the field calling. God is not sitting somewhere waiting for us to show up. God searches for us, looks for us, finds us. Like the woman in the second parable, God is willing to search every corner and dark spot, to light the lamps and move the furniture, to grab the broom and search for us. God is not just sitting there thinking, it'll turn up again sometime, eventually. God searches for us, looks for us, finds us. In our reading from 1 Timothy today, Paul reminds us that he was a lost soul. He was lost and didn't realize it. He thought he was doing what God wished, and instead he was persecuting God's children. Now eventually Paul realized that he was acting ignorantly and in unbelief, but it took falling on his butt and losing his vision for a while. But God's grace overflowed. It helped Paul up. It set him on a path to help him proclaim God's love in Jesus Christ. The celebrations when he was found were profound. Jesus tells us these parables today because the Pharisees and the scribes were still watching him. They were watching and complaining because Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. Now, the Pharisees and scribes had already written those tax collectors and sinners off. They were lost. Good riddance to all of them anyway. But Jesus has come to be with them, to find them, to help these lost ones, because for Jesus, in the words of the Hollies song, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. God's love is for those tax collectors and sinners, just as God's love is also for those Pharisees and scribes. Jesus shows us that God loves all of us and searches for us all. Mark was glad he was finally found. He was also surprised by God's persistence. Mark was a heroin addict. He went from being a pretty good guy, not the best student, but good with his hands and okay as a carpenter, to being a full-blown addict who sold his tools, his dad's tools, his friend's tools, some tools that he's stolen, some jewelry he had stolen, and anything else that he could find just to feed his habit. Mark recognizes now that God was there trying to find him. He was there in his parents, some friends. He was in the paramedic who first Narcan'd him back to life. He was there in members of the first NA group he ever attended. God was there in one of the guards at the jail, as well as the chaplain at the jail. Mark dried out in jail, and then he went through a drug court, being assigned to a sober house for 90 days. He found a job, and he connected to a new group of people, one that wasn't into the heroin lifestyle. Mark had been as lost as he would ever want to be. He was hiding in the darkest corners that he could find, believing that no one cared for him anymore, that no one loved him, that no one wanted him. He was trying his best to pull the walls in around him so that no one would ever find him. God found him anyway. God loves him anyway. God cares. And then he sends the likes of you and me to prove the point of that love. We get to be part of all of those celebrations. Shana was trafficked at 13. She had thought that she was so sophisticated and mature. And she knew that her mom was way too strict and that she just needed to fly. Big X took one look at her and knew he had a mark. A little wooing and sweet talk here, a gift or two there. And she was ripe for drugs and transport. She spent 6 years in trailers. God only knew where. She found out eventually that it was North Dakota. 6 years of misery. Wanting to die. Eventually, they took her out of the trailers and she found herself in St. Paul, Minnesota, where she discovered a group of ladies who were the face of God for her. They listened to her. They helped her. They helped her find a job and a place to stay that had nothing at all to do with Big X, his crew, or a trailer. She was found. She had had no hope of being found. And yet she was there. Despair was a daily guest in her life. And yet God found her and the celebrations continue every day. The lost are not only those who are addicted like Mark or mistreated like Shana. The lost could be a hedge fund manager with a judgmental streak. The lost can include a woman widowed far too young who feels abandoned by God and misunderstood by everyone else. The lost can be children or seniors. The lost can be confident and confused. The lost can be you and it can be me. Today, Jesus teaches us that when we are lost, all are searched for and all can be found and celebrated. It is the joy in heaven. It is the joy in God's heart as we return, as we care for each other, as we join in the search and join in the celebrations. That is what God's dream is all about. Jesus tells us today that the search goes on until found. This isn't just for a little while. Oh, I'll spend 10 minutes and then everything should be okay. Jesus shows us that grace is always there for us. Now, grace is undeserved love, and that is what God pours out for us always. When we are lost because of our decisions or arrogance, grace is there for us. When we are lost because someone has led us astray, grace is there for us. When we are lost and confused, lost and hiding, lost and upset, lost and angry, lost and sad, lost and depressed, lost with no hope, grace is there for us. And we get to bring that grace to all those around us. We can allow that grace to come to us through them as well. God searches, God finds. God loves all of us, and we get to bring that love wherever we go. So let's. Amen. Please rise. Let us remember and celebrate our baptisms as we share our faith using the words in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. Your people receive mercy, and your grace overflows in our lives. Fill your church with faith and love, and give understanding hearts to those who work to strengthen our ecumenical and interreligious commitments. Lord, in your mercy, your creation groans as it suffers the impacts of pollution and lack of care. As the seasons change, renew in us the will to protect plants, animals, and habitats. Bless us with bountiful harvests that all may share. Lord, in your mercy, your world is shattered and the nations rage. Remember us in your mercy. Teach wisdom to our elected leaders so that we know peace in our world, peace in our homes, and peace in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, your children wander homeless and the hungry cry for bread. Seek out those who are lost or lonely, anxious or depressed, or struggling with addiction or illness. Provide for those in any need. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Sharon, Fran, Jeff and Amy, Janet, Carol, Andy, Jack, Brenda, Alice, Rhonda, and Mike. May the hope-filled presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy. Your work is done in these congregations with our hands, feet, voices, minds, and hearts. Build up the ministries of this community that we may serve our neighbors and welcome the stranger in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Your blessed saints who have died now rest in your presence. Give us thankful hearts for those who have been examples of faith in our lives, and receive us with joy when we come to share eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy. Gathered together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you have a blessed week as you go into the world with hope.
To make God our visit and our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.